As always, we discover wonderful broadcasters in the most unlikely of places, but actually working for York's Chocolate Story, we have the fabulous Grace.
Hello.
Grace, obviously you're showing all sorts of things here. Talk to us, how did you actually get involved with York's Chocolate Story?
Well, I joined York's Chocolate Story back in March. I joined the street marketing team, and I've been doing that since March, April time. And I've recently learned how to become a tour guide, so in the attraction, I've been doing tours, and I'm also doing lolly making as well.
Well, there we are. And Jessica, she's quite interested in radio.
Oh, yes, you should get in touch with us and definitely get some experience. It's really good.
So which university did you go to, or are you going to?
I went to the University of York.
And what did you study?
I studied music as my BA, and I did a Master's in post-production with sound design for my Master's. So,
right, so obviously the radio worked with it. So, Jessica, yeah. Any thoughts or questions?
I'm just wondering, what is your favourite type of thing to do here at York's Chocolate Story?
Because there are students and undergraduates who say this is the ideal dream job.
Yeah, it's great. I love working here. It's fantastic. My favourite part is meeting people from all over the place and finding out where they've come from, what their favourite chocolate is, and making sure they've learned something about York's chocolate industry and seeing what they get out of the attraction, because everyone gets something different out of it.
Makes perfect sense. Well, I think we're obviously sort of being edged out in all sorts of ways. Grace, has been delightful to touch base with your good self. See you very soon.
Thank you very much for your time.
Clearly the tastes and the aspects of things you can actually access here are quite phenomenal. The Sawley Kitchen, award-winning Yorkshire biscuits, artisan baking at its best, is what the sign says. Sue, I think you're already giving a thumbs up to this.
That's good.
Absolutely, totally. I mean, we've got an official taster there. Jessica's about to try some white chocolate and lemon shortbread. And while she's doing that, we'll have a brief word with the legend who is?
It's Robin and Nikki Jakes.
Yeah. Robin, good to connect with yourself. And hi to Nikki, who sort of have your other species. Robin, just share with us. I mean, you've almost got a kind of siege stand here. You've got your Boston lemon giant meringues. You've got your chocolate giant meringues. You've got your raspberry giant meringues. And you're just quite happily sort of sitting back, sort of enticing people into this fantastic area.
That's right. Everything's all hand-baked. Our bakery just outside Ripon, so it's all top quality gear.
Jessica, I think you're on your are you onto the rhubarb and custard show? It's phenomenal in this sort of area. Well, I think Sue's probably just come to the end of one sort of particular piece. Honestly, it's like sort of locusts in this particular area. Sue, what do you make of it?
It's absolutely fantastic. That rhubarb and custard shortbread, not only is it unusual, but actually you really can taste the rhubarb. I was really surprised. But it's just that the array of different colours and things that you do. I mean, we've got, giant meringues. I mean, frankly, I could quite happily sit under the desk and eat those.
Oh, well, that's nice that you like it anyway. That's what we're here for.
Exactly. And, of course, to sell the product as well. But let's be honest, you can go with that. Jessica?
Well, I've just tried your shortbread. And to be fair, I kind of went for the white chocolate and lemon shortbread first because I'm more familiar with that. I'm not so familiar with the rhubarb. But I definitely prefer the rhubarb and custard. They're both very nice. The texture is just crumbly, but it's quite solid. It's really lovely. And your meringues look amazing, especially those chocolate ones over there.
You see, as a male, if I turned out to a young lady, for instance, Nikki, and said, your meringues are amazing, she'd probably slap me, but never mind. It's just a thought. Moving on. What is the secret? Let's turn to Nikki here. So, Nikki, I mean, how long have you actually been working within this magical field? Olympic year.
Yes, absolutely.
And still thriving from that perspective. Jessica?
I'm just wondering, how do you, with the meringues, because my mum makes them all the time, how do you get them so big? Because she makes tiny little ones and sometimes they just don't work out so well. Just wondering, what is,
These do look like genetically modified meringues.
Yes, it's like...
No nasties in them whatsoever, just literally caster sugar and egg whites, whipped and then whipped a little bit more.
And is it all homemade then?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, everything. We have a little bakehouse just the other side of Ripon where we have a team that work with us. Yep.
So do you is it you that has fun making all these weird and wonderful recipes then?
Yeah, I mean, they all sort of laugh. It comes out of my head and it's a place that nobody ever wants to go.
I wouldn't say that. I'm sure there are psychoanalysts who sort of go to all sorts of things, exactly. Web address, of course, remains sawleykitchen.co.uk. That's Sawley, S-A-W-L-E-Y, kitchen.co.uk. SK, seriously scrumptious. Nice to the use of those on that point of view. And presumably all set for the Christmas markets to come around.
Absolutely, sir. As you see, some of our Christmas hampers are already out on display.
Genuine delight. Fantastic. I mean, what else can one say other than sort of an absolutely delicious event, which hopefully one day we'll hopefully visit you in person, if that's okay.
Lovely, yeah. Love to.
That would be lovely. Yeah. Thank you.
luxury toffee popcorn, Henderson's Yorkshire sauce, natural sea salt, a luxury hand-cooked crisps. Of course, we can only be yorkshirecrisps.co.uk with...
Tim Wheatley.
Tim, the Yorkshire Crisp Company sounds as though it's something you should wear with pride, and you are. So what makes your Yorkshire crisps just that bit more magical than other crisps that are available?
Oh, we get asked that many times.
I know.
The main thing is we are just a small family business, and all our potatoes are grown for us near York on the Yorkshire Wolds. At the moment, it's straight out of the fields and into the fryers, but the main difference is that we batch fry, which means that we have two small fryers, and it's a bit like a chip shop, really. You know, somebody stands there and makes a judgment when they're done, so they're all hand-cooked and hand-produced. And then when the flavourings are put on, they're all completely natural flavours.
Well, Bridget and Sue are already going into tasting duties from this point of view. Sue, thoughts so far?
Well, I've got a bit of a confession here, because I saw your products the other day in a well-known supermarket, and I bought the natural sea salt one, and I really, really like them. They're nice and thick, they give a good crunch, and as you can see, Bridget is quite merrily stuffing that one straight in. So there's no complaints from the small child either.
Two thumbs up and going for more.
Well, that's very good. Well, there's plenty more flavours to try other than the sea salt one.
Jessica?
I've got two questions. One is, where did you get the ideas for these specific flavours? They're very creative. So, for instance, you've got toffee and coconut popcorn there, which sounds lovely.
Yeah. Well, the flavours, we start with the normal ones. Well, say the normal ones. There's the sea salt and the cheddar and onion, and the wine vinegar is a little bit different. But most of the other flavours come from our own ideas, speaking to people at shows like this and asking them what sort of flavours they think they would like. And then it's a matter of trying them out and seeing which ones everybody likes the best. So, yeah, try to be a little bit different.
That's really good. And my other question is, coming from a naive New Zealander, what is...
Is there such a thing as a naive New Zealander?
Someone who's like... over here. I don't know what Yorkshire sauce is. Could you explain that to me?
What is Yorkshire sauce?
Yorkshire sauce is made from something that's called Henderson's Relish, that's been made in Sheffield for over 100 years, and it actually precedes Worcester sauce. But the main difference is that unlike Worcester sauce, it hasn't got anchovy in it, so it's suitable for vegetarians.
Anchovy free.
So you're very friendly then, very, very nice.
The web address we've mentioned, once again, is yorkshirecrisps.co.uk. What about a location report? Do you think you'd accept the team to actually do a little location report with you sometime in 2016?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to come down to the factory and have a look around, you're more than welcome.
What do you think, Jessica? Do you think they'll be up for that?
I would very much like that, yes.
I think I'd take one for the team on that one as well.
Everybody wants to come and look around the factory.
Well, exactly, I'm not surprised. Good luck with the rest of the thing. Is this your first Countryside Live, or have you been here sort of in previous years?
No. We do the Yorkshire Show every year. We've done the Yorkshire Show for 9-10 years.
Well, it's clearly our loss that over the last few years we haven't. We've likely covered that, but obviously destiny finally brought you together today. Fantastic stuff.
No problem at all. Thanks.
Christmas pudding pig on the plum pudding pig. Christmas pudding pig on the plum cooking pig.
And so you may well gather by the commentary in the background, we are watching one man and his pig.
We are, and it's not David Cameron, I'm afraid.
Somebody had to say that, I'm glad it wasn't me. Anyway, in terms of the sort of sequence, this is again part of the educational side, obviously, of Countryside Live, and clearly the sort of notion of that herding pigs is quite a challenge.
Yes, I can imagine. I'm really fascinated by that pig over there. They call it the Christmas pudding pig because it's orange and it's got black spots. Never seen it. Never seen the likes.
So it's going to be very confusing, but nevertheless, life continues.
To the start line, yeah? Give him a crack. Give him a crack. He's not going fast enough. Go on. Give him a tap. Give him a tap. That's it. Yeah, down towards the start line. Look. Off we go. Right, are you ready? Get set. Go. Take him round as fast as you can. Go on. I think you need to be a bit harder than that, don't you? So we go past through the start line. Pass through the start line and then underneath the hook, ladies and gentlemen. Underneath the hook. That's it. I'll quick round through the zigzags. Through the zigzags, through the bollards. That's it. You're guiding round. And this is the course. This is the way it goes, ladies and gentlemen. Guiding him round there and in between. So zigzagging through.
Shows that we see all summer.
We still have our commentary from one man and his pig in the background. Dylan has actually decided to bring his cider outside. And Dylan, is it a thumbs up for the cider?
It's a beautiful cider. We've got an interview with the manufacturers of that a little later. You'll be hearing.
Really?
It is actually really nice. This one is done in whiskey barrels, so it's got a hint of whiskey in it. So, very nice. Very nice.
So we've got an inebriated postgraduate academic head of timetables in line. It's stunning. What would Sarah Barrow say, I asked myself?
No idea, but I must say they were truly artisan. The products that they had were beautiful, really beautiful.
Well, we're going to check out, hopefully, our sheep show people once again. Richard, probably for the sheep show. We'll still have a look at the ferrets. I'm not sure whether our ferrets chap has actually returned as yet, or whether he's also sampling things. Dylan, your thoughts now? We've kind of covered probably about a 16th of the actual area of the Countryside Live activities.
Yeah, I prefer this to the Yorkshire show.
Really?
And I'll tell you, it's simply because you can actually get to things a lot easier. You can get to do the interviews a lot easier. The people have got more time. It's not that it's empty. There are plenty of people here, plenty of people.
Record attendance.
Yeah, but it's just calmer, I feel. Yeah.
Interesting. Jessica?
I'm sorry, what was
your thoughts on the show? I mean, I know you can't compare it with the Great Yorkshire Show, but your thoughts on what we've done so far?
Yeah, I love it. The atmosphere is amazing, and just, I don't know what it is about Yorkshire people. They're just very, very relaxed and very calm, but most importantly, very, very friendly. And it's a long
time. Over the years, with the Lincolnshire Show, with obviously the Grand Massam Sheep Trials, with the Great Yorkshire Show, of course, the Sheep Show has become essential. And whether it's been Richard or whether it's been Stuart, we know there's a whole range of things working within that. Today, of course, not Richard nor Stuart, but a new voice to Siren FM Southside Broadcasting as far as the Sheep Show is actually concerned, and it is...
Warren.
Warren. Now, Warren, we have with Jessica here a New Zealand lass who is basically, obviously, from the land of sheep in all sorts of ways. Warren, do I detect a slight New Zealand accent?
No.
Well, there you go. That sorts that one out completely. I think you could actually reunite on that basis. But, Warren, tell us about your own background.
Right, I'm actually South African, but it's all the wrong hemisphere, so, you know. Or the right hemisphere, sorry, I mean to say.
I won't talk about the Rugby World Cup at this stage.
No, I would, actually.
Would you?
It's a good time to go at it.
Yeah, Japan.
Hey, whistle in it.
Yeah. Warren, it was going so well, and here we are. But the sheep show, as we know, this is one of those amazing things. You've got dancing sheep, you've got Nobby the Norfolk sheep, the disco sheep. I mean, this is a phenomenal way of actually just keeping people aware of educating themselves into rare sheep breeds and more.
Absolutely. I mean, we try and keep it as fun as possible. I've been told that could be potentially a little bit too risque, but I don't think there's such a thing with sheep.
I'm always impressed by this. I mean, I think we've seen Stuart in the past manage to shear the sheep in something like 48 seconds, something along those sort of lines, or maybe a bit longer, maybe 90-odd seconds. What's your own record?
About that. But actually, that's not particularly good. That's about average, really.
I will actually invite Dylan over here in a few seconds. So let's just sort of, I'm beckoning him over now because this is actually critical. Because Dylan does actually have sheep, but right. Dylan actually, when it comes to shearing the sheep, doesn't really quite believe in the whole sort of this sort of that. I mean, roughly how long would you take? Does it take you to shear one sheep?
Shear one sheep?
Yes.
Yeah. It all depends whether you're shearing foot or not. Personally, I'd probably take about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Yeah, a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Like, Sue, what's Dylan's sort of record here? She's got into a fit of giggles. Dylan, would you like to just share?
I think that one sheep will take me the best part of the afternoon, and the sheep looks absolutely shattered by the end of it, and I am equally shattered.
Now, Warren, clearly you are the man to provide some advice and help here, because, you know, that's going to take a lot of time with a flock, isn't it, really?
That'll take a lot of time, but... Okay, the best advice I can give you is shear more sheep. that's really...
And not with a pair of scissors.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no wonder. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Dylan, but it had to be revealed.
That is good advice, actually. And I think it's like most things in life. The more you do, the better you get at it. And I've just not got enough sheep to... You know, and nobody's going to let me loose on their sheep.
Well, there we are. I mean, Warren, I keep trying with Stuart and Richard to work together. It could be a lost cause.
Well, no. You'll keep getting there. You'll get there. You'll get there in the end. But yeah, get rid of the hand shears.
You won't make any money out of it, that's for sure.
Okay, Jessica, questions.
I was just wondering, what kind of sheep do you really like working with?
Personally, I'm quite fond of the hill sheep. So, Britain's fantastic with sheep. There's so many different breeds, as you have in New Zealand. although you've done some pretty weird things with a lot of them. But over here, I really...
I'm glad you said that, actually. Yeah. I've thought for years.
Stereotypes, guys. Just stereotypes.
No, well, you still have... I mean, a lot of your breeds are still the English breeds, mm-hmm. but just crossed over and made a bit bigger. So, you know, it's very similar to here, just bigger, meatier, slightly woolier. Personally, I like hill breeds. I like Cumbrian sheep, so Herdwicks. I keep them myself. Not very good for wool, but this might sound a bit odd. Lovely eyelashes.
Yeah, well, you see, there we are.
Right!
Well, Stuart and Richard, obviously, a different league in this particular aspect.
Well, I remember when I went and met Richard at the Lincolnshire show, and being a sheep farmer's daughter, I sort of scratched my head and said, at what point did you get the idea that actually we could get these sheep to dance? I thought that was quite bizarre.
It is, because, as I say, that's one of the aspects of the sheep show, of course, the dancing sheep, which presumably you also bring to Countryside Live as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Although, you know... We've got three big units, actually four big units on the road now, and it's very, very surprising how every breed of sheep has very similar dance moves. So every Norfolk horn on the planet does a similar dance to every other Norfolk horn, and completely different to Suffolk. I don't know what to say about that, but...
Yeah, that's strange. I'd like to witness that, actually, just see how different they are.
I think we obviously must, as I realise, Jessica, you haven't seen the dancing sheep as yet, because
no,
you've been back in the Isle of Man.
Oh, you must. They were a wonder to behold. I was absolutely...
Entranced.
Entranced, yes, I was. Even by the Suffolk, which I think are devil incarnates, but there you go.
Suffolk, devil incarnate, well, I suppose it is Halloween, Warren, so...
Yeah. Actually, I'm just in the midst of getting a Suffolk tuck for my sheep. So there might be some interesting lambs next year. So hopefully not the devil incarnate. We'll see. We'll see.
Or Sue, to go further.
The tup might be. I know certainly the Suffolks breed very good lambs for carcass and things like that. But no, I find that the boys, my dad used to have one, and he was called Penny Pip, Penny Royal, and you didn't get into the field with him, ever.
Well, there we have it. I mean, we go from decapitated sheep's heads to tupping sheep. It's obviously all human life or species life is up Countryside Live. Warren, it's fantastic to actually be pleasure with you. Of course, the web address for the sheep show is?
I don't know.
There you go. Sheepshow.co.uk, actually. All sorted through there. We'll look towards that. Yeah, exactly. So there's when are you actually performing over the Countryside Live? The show times are?
12:32 and last one at 4 o'clock. However, I'm trying to change that because, as we said earlier, there's a...
two challenges.
Sorry?
A challenge. One or two challenges.
No, I'm trying to change it because the rugby quarter final starts at 4.
Well, that's one or two
really
challenges.
Really good, yeah. Good point.
A little matter of a quite important rugby match. 4 and 8 o'clock as well.
I kind of lost interest, really, from that sort of perspective, because, I mean, obviously after the Welsh result, it's just where do we go after there, really?
Don't speak to me about this.
Well, I think it's perfect time as an English person to watch rugby and learn how the game's played.
It's the range of exhibits that always impresses me at Countryside Live, because obviously we've covered a whole range of fascinating crafts and things, and we will come back to that. But Aga, of course, Jessica, is the wonderful quintessential status symbol of being in the countryside, and Aga, the cook that never actually goes out in many ways. And here we are, strangely enough, actually at the Aga stand with Tian Cook, with the marvellous chap who is...
Michael Cook.
Michael, share with us, that's presumably why you've got TN Cook Limited blazed upon your person, really.
It is. It is.
So talk to us about what we've actually got here, because, I mean, Countryside Live is obviously a real chance to bring the rural side and the urban side together, but the Aga, as I said, it is a status symbol, isn't it? I mean, you've arrived when you've got an Aga in your kitchen.
Well, yes, but it's much more than that, much more than that. It's not really just a status symbol anymore. It's highly practical thing for keeping cosy, comfortable, warm and doing top line cooking.
So talk to us about this. I know William Sitwell, our ace Thursday morning correspondent and Waitrose food editor, will be probably endorsing all this. So the importance of the Aga.
It's keeps you warm and cosy in your kitchen all year round. The modern generation ones can be adjusted so that they don't get you too warm in summer, so you can use it. It's now an all year round cooker. You don't have to put them off like you used to do. And of course, you've got more ovens now on the new generation one, three of them one. You've got a roasting, a simmering, and a baking oven. For all those people who are mad on baking, it's absolutely perfect. Cast iron oven, the whole thing weighs nearly half a ton, so it's really stable cooking.
Robust. Jessica.
Well, I think they're a good idea. I think they're very eco-friendly and environmentally friendly as well. I've always actually wanted one, but maybe in the future when I become a rich journalist, I don't know if that's going to happen, but maybe I'll invest in one. But I'm just wondering, how popular are they nowadays?
They're very popular because they're not as expensive as they used to be in real terms. They used to be really, which is why they're not. They're much more of a practical item, but they're not as expensive as they used to be. They start at below £5,000, which is really reasonable for a cooker that will last nearly a lifetime.
It's like a decent second-hand car, isn't it, really?
Yes, it's cheaper than that, really. And it will last 30, 40 years, so, yeah.
Is it hard to install into your house?
No. The new generation ones, again, we used to build them on site, which used to take 2 men 2 days or more. But now we bring them all in one piece, so you can always even move them if you move.
Okay. Astounding. Sue, Argus?
You don't need to convince me. I've got a wood-fired Raven. I grew up with a Raven, and they're sort of the smaller cousin to the Arga. I absolutely adore them.
You see, we're bringing you folk here, endorsing you as you speak. Amazing.
Yes, they're incredible things, and everybody knows Arga.
So what brought you to the Arga? I mean, was it a case of, I always fancied setting up a whole sort of range with respect to the Arga and so on. And what in particular sort of appealed?
Well, I was born into it, really, because our company, which started in 1870, started selling Argas in 1932. So I'm not quite that old, so that was in my father's time.
Indeed, so it works with that whole basis. And clearly, has the base always been in Skipton?
Yes, we've always been in Skipton. Years and years and years ago, we used to have a branch in Harrogate and in Kendal, but we just operate from Skipton now.
You can, of course, go to the usual 3 W's, tncook.co limited, that's tncook.co UK, for the full address, tncook limited for Twitter. Amazing, you've got all the social networking sites as well, and, of course, your email, worldsfinest@tncook.co.uk.
Yes, and a massive showroom at a characterful converted farm premises just outside Skipton. We've got every model of Arga on show, and we do have a hot cookers now, and we've got every model and colour of those on show as well, and a really good coffee machine.
Well, intriguingly, in all of our location events, etc., I don't think we've ever covered a complete Arga showroom.
No, not at all. I love the colours they do them in these days. They're
great. I'm just noticing you've got pink and yellow ones on your poster over there.
And rose and lemon.
And a quick plug for your wife, who presumably sort of said, I need that coat and you could do the interviews as well. I just got to sit here and look glamorous. Her name is?
Sheila.
Sheila. Hi, Sheila.
Hello there.
There we are, you see, all there in sort of a fantastic touching place with yourself. Good luck with the rest of the time. The first time at the Great Yorkshire Show, the Countryside Live, in this location, I suspect. Have you? But you've been here before.
Yes, we've been here before, yeah. A couple of years ago we came, and we were inside at that point.
Well, obviously it's so warm, you can be outside these days.
It's absolutely lovely, and we've got one of the cookers on there, so we can lean on it.
And from Argus, we move to the Young Farmers of Yorkshire, Yorkshire Young Farmers, and Ian Close, the county chairman, is with us. Ian, good to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
So already we can see that Bridget and Sue and Jessica have made a beeline for the sheep straight away from that point of view. You've got everything here that really kind of just brings the educational factor plus the fun of farming to the fore.
Yes, that's right, the sheep are for sheep racing, just to get ourselves out there and publicise what young farmers do, and with everything on display for what young farmers get up to and the fun that we're doing, and the education as well.
Now, I'm going to have a few words with Sue in a few moments, because I've heard of the young farmers can be legendary in all sorts of ways, especially for the social gathering and such like. But looking at the sort of sign we've got here, you've got friends of the Young Farmers Association, the Yorkshire Federation of Young Farmers Clubs, from that point of view. And in fact, you can still be a young farmer even if you're over 26.
Yes, that's right. We have the Friends of Young Farmers for those people who are over 26 but just can't let go. They can be involved with prize draws, tickets to shows, things like that, and there's all sorts on offer for them, really.
Fantastic stuff. Now, in terms of that, obviously, here we are at Countryside Live. You're presumably around for the Great Yorkshire Show as well. How do you think Countryside Live is shaping up? Because, I mean, it's kind of an established part of the autumn event now. I mean, I remember it when it was just starting off, and we started covering it about that sort of stage. It's really become an intrinsic part of the agricultural calendar, hasn't it?
Yes, definitely. It gets to this time of the year, and farmers are dreading the winter coming. It's nice to have a day out and go to a show, really, and catch up with everybody and see everybody.
We often used to say that it was the Newark and Notts show that kind of kicked off the season. Now, of course, these days, the Nottinghamshire County show. But, you know, it kind of the season continues to extend. Jessica, young farmers and so on. Obviously, Jennifer from New Zealand, a different line there. Notice you made a beeline for the sheep as well.
Yes, straight to the sheep. I want to see what kind of breeds they are. They're very healthy, actually. Very, very big, stocky creatures.
So questions for our official chairman, county chairman of the Yorkshire Young Farmers Club. No, Young Farmers, yes, it is Young Farmers Club. YFYFC, there you go. Anyway, off you go, Jessica.
So how do you educate children then? Do you do lots of workshops? Or
we do shows like this where we push everything in workshops, and then we have regular meetings and we offer everything at the meetings. Each club sets up the programme for the year. And we do everything, public speaking, stock judging, crop analysis, all sorts, really.
And what do you usually talk about for younger audiences?
We start with the basics for the younger end, where all the food comes from, that sort of thing, and then gradually build up bit by bit.
There was a time a few years ago where people said the average age of a young farmer in Britain was 57. I mean, hopefully that's changing now, because obviously there's that notion that if we continued on that line, there would be no farmers, you'd be extinct before too long. Is that changing? I mean, are we seeing an improvement in terms of, obviously, we've had the diversification, we had the foot and mouth thing at the start of the century, all problems with respect to that. Is the prognosis better for people who actually want to work in the countryside?
I think the farming industry as a whole has changed. Farms have got bigger, therefore there's less young people coming through. Young farmers, we are pushing, it's not only for farmers, it's for anybody in the rural area, really, who wants to get out and learn something new. So times are changing, but we do try and push young farmers as well.
Yeah, I don't know too much about farming here in England.
Britain,
yes. So I'll have to do some research into that. But do you like cover topics like how there were farmers kind of protesting against milking, I think it was.
Yeah, that was certainly one of the big buzzwords this year. I mean, we're not going to ask you to get political, but clearly that, together with price of wool, etc., you know, farmers can only exist if the business is actually viable. Otherwise, you are talking about diversification and all sorts of things.
That's right, yeah, completely. We do our best to support and look after the industry, and we put ourselves out there, and we will debate about it. And this year we're having a Yorkshire Young Farmers Forum, where the discussion is about diversification and how else farmers can make money.
Well, Sue Rice, of course, is a young farmer's daughter, as well as a young small-holding farmer herself, and soon to be graduate of the MA Community Radio Programme at the University of Lincoln. Yay! Sue, questions for yourself.
Well, I've just been looking at your lovely sheep that you've got here. What do you think the future for young people in farming, where do you think it's going? I mean, I know me as a farmer's daughter, I haven't gone into it, and I really do quite worry sometimes. I think, well, maybe, should I have done? You know, should I be holding the flag?
Never too late, Sue.
It on? Or where do you think it's going? Particularly in Yorkshire, I know you're the county chairman, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. I think there will always be a farming industry, and I think it always needs people coming through. Personally, I've had to take on plumbing, because my brother works at home, there's not enough work for us all. So I'd love to farm, I'd love to get back into it. And I think there are more and more people like me out there still. And I think there will always be a future in it.
And of course in Yorkshire we've got examples such as Tom Pearcey with the York Maze, of how he managed to take what was a challenge into what is a premier tourist attraction. And of course next week starts off with Hello Scream.
Yeah, that's it. There's always things, different alleys to go down to make a bit more money, and I think farmers will need to be looking that way in the future.
Optimism is clearly at the heart of the whole thing. It's been wonderful sharing some thoughts with your good self, Ian. I'm just sort of fascinated by some of these photographs in terms of the stock judging that we seem to have a range of people wearing sort of animal skins there, which I Lord knows what's going on. It sounds like it's a strange and wonderful world in the Young Farmers Association, which I'm sure, Sue, you would confirm. It's just marvellous.
The floats every year, I think it would be safe to say, are legendary.
Yeah, we have a good social side.
As are the after parties, yeah. So I believe.
Yeah, we work hard and play hard.